Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined around the mic by Cheryl Lindemann and Mari Garza.
Hello.
And we are still social distancing. Hey,
yes,
ladies.
We are. Hello.
How are things going?
Hanging in there. Yeah. I can't believe we're still home, but I've adjusted and I've got a little routine going. I'm good.
My routine keeps changing. I keep trying to adjust it to, you know, maybe give myself more of a sense of I'm okay and this is going fine, but it's been interesting. But we're still here, and despite pandemics and closings and social distancing, we still have things to talk about. We've got books. We've got programs that are still going on. We are still going to do the Summer Reading Challenge this year. And
yes,
Madi, you're going to have to tell us kind of how that's going to look.
Okay, so I am very excited that Summer Reading Challenge is not canceled. It is going on. We're very excited to actually be able to start a little earlier than we normally do. This year, the Summer Reading Challenge runs from May 22nd to August 8th. And you are correct in that when it starts, we'll still be closed as far as our buildings. But everyone can log in at cattle.org/summer. In fact, registration begins May 1st. And the Summer Reading Challenge, we went from Summer Reading to the Summer Reading Challenge because we really want to challenge, especially kids and teens, to keep reading. We offer four different challenges. One is for babies and toddlers, one is for kids, one is for teens, and we also have one for adults. And, you know, in addition to regular reading, which of course we want everyone to do, this challenge involves logging your reading minutes, doing some activities if you want to. You can also post reviews. Where each challenge has a certain number of points that we ask our members to aim for, and every activity or, you know, session of reading that you post, you are accumulating points, and this allows you to qualify for certain prizes like drawings for gift cards. We've got a metal straw for teens. And actually for finishers, I'm very excited to announce this. We've got a device giveaway going on, and that will involve writing an essay or a writing portion, you know, that would answer the question of what would a device mean to you or what would it do for you. So we're really challenging our kids and our teens to choose now, finish, that you're going to finish, and then you're going to write your submission so that you can qualify to possibly win one of those. We're great. Really excited that it's going on. And I want to mention too, that our theme this year is Imagine Your Story. So of course we're celebrating folk tales, fairy tales, mythology, fantasy, but also real life stories. So we're asking kids to
You can go so many directions with this theme.
Yeah. It's a really neat theme.
So,
and
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wanted to just mention some of the books I've been thinking about that sort of go with the theme.
Okay, go for it.
So in Hoopla, we've got Fairy Tales, Spotathon series. This is by Kasia Duziak, I think. And this is sort of like a Where's Waldo type of book. And we actually only own it in Hoopla, but it's a search and find sort of thing. So you see a page that's pretty busy looking, and you're asking kids to look for the green triangle or, notice what's different. And these types of books are very popular with kids, but I think especially for younger kids, being on the lookout for differences and similarities and being able to identify things all kind of go with that process of learning to decipher and tell the difference so that when you're getting ready to read, you are ready. And then the other one that I was so excited to discover is The Legend of Michigan by Trinka Hackies Noble. And this is a really great, really nice picture book that is a little longer than you would expect with a normal picture book, but it's got The author grew up in southern Michigan, and she kind of details a little bit of the history of, I can't remember, it's called the Trail of something, which is now US 12 or Michigan Avenue. It runs through Detroit and Chicago and focuses a lot on the ice age from long ago and okay. how that whole area was frozen. A lot of themes of Native American history, ancestors that she has. And it's just a beautiful book. It's kind of older. And at the same time, I'm going to mention that the other Sleeping Bear Press books, like The Legend of the Sleeping Bear by Kathy Jo Wargan and The Legend of the Petoskey Stone, also by Kathy Jo Wargan, are in our digital offering. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really excited about those two stories right there.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the fun things for me and that I get to do that's associated with summer reading challenges to help with some of the reading lists. So
yeah,
that's been kind of fun to work. For me, I was working on the adult fiction list because, as you said, there is an adult component as well.
Yep.
Just modeling for children or just reading for yourself are fabulous things. But some of the titles, we really wanted to kind of represent stories from all over the place. But still kind of keep it to a relatively reasonable size list. So mm-hmm. we had a very long list that we whittled down, and it'll be available for people to pull down and look at. But it's some of the ones that I was really excited about getting on the list was there's a book called The Hum and the Shiver by Alex Bledsoe.
Okay.
And it's really based in sort of Appalachian fairy tales.
Ooh.
So it's sort of the stories pulled, it's literally fairy tales. But it's, you know, in this particular book, it's the first book in a series. And it's a contemporary story. So it's the main character is a woman who's just come back from a tour in Iraq. She was wounded. She's invalided out. She's a Purple Heart recipient, so people want to talk to her about it. But she's from this very small community in Tennessee, and they do not want attention. And there's a reason they do not want attention. Is they are kind of the old blood, and they have. And Bronwyn, who's the main character, has things she was running from when she joined the army that she has to face when she gets back. But it's this great, interesting, dark, secretive community. And there is literally a fairy element to it. And it's just, it's a fun, interesting series starter.
Sounds really atmospheric, huh?
Yes. It's very heavy on character and feel versus, versus plot. There's plot there too. Just the feel of it is really neat. It's very atmospheric. It's a great way of describing it. A couple of the other ones we got on were, one I was really excited about was The Djinn Fall in Love, which is actually a book of short stories, which, you know, given we've talked about people's attention spans and sometimes including mine, and sometimes reading is easy, sometimes it isn't. So getting a book of, short stories on, seemed like a good idea, but this one is fabulous because it's a whole lot of people looking at the djinn or the genies in different types of, from different lenses. There are kind of cultural equivalents outside of, you know, Arabian mythology. Mm-hmm. So you've got somebody like Nnedi Okorafor, who is Nigerian, does a story about a bush baby, which is also a genie equivalent. J.Y. Nian Yang has a story that has more of they're Indonesian, and that has more of that feel. Helene Wecker, who wrote The Golem and the Genie, has a story. Neil Gaiman has there's actually a standalone clip from American Gods that's in this. This actually came out in 2017, but when I kind of look back on the list of people, there are people who have just really broken through in the last couple of years. And it's really looking back, it's sort of a who's who of who was up and coming at the time. So it's just a great introduction to these people too, if you wanted to kind of get a look at that. There are people who are showing up all over, for example, Tours, Novellas, and the awards list right now. And then we couldn't have done it without, you know, like one nod to, I put Norse Mythology on by Neil Gaiman. This one actually, the reason I kind of wanted to talk about it is because I remember how I read this book. The first time I picked it up, well before the pandemic, I couldn't get into it at all. And I love Neil Gaiman. I love everything by Neil Gaiman. And this is just one of those things, I couldn't get into it at all.
Wow.
And, but the second time I picked it up, I read it literally straight through with a grin. He just has a voice that works for me. He just has a great way of retelling stories. And this is one of those, the audiobook is absolutely fabulous because he's reading it. I will admit, I have said this before, I will listen to him reading the phone book if he ever did it. I just would. There was a point where they were trying to get him to read the Cheesecake Factory menu. He would have done it for a certain amount of money to charity. Yeah. They couldn't quite raise enough.
That's funny.
That said, this is it's just fun. He's a great sense of humor, and I just really enjoyed that one. But again, it's one of those things, even before a pandemic, some days a book doesn't work, and the next day it will be absolutely fine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huh. Hey, can I mention a couple titles that I forgot to bring up?
Yes.
These are two are for older readers. The first one is Race to the Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse. And this is kind of a middle grade read. And I'll mention that this is part of the Rick Riordan Presents publishing arm of Disney Hyper. Yes. And this is not, he doesn't write these books. He kind of just does a little bit of editing, oversees them. But the goal for these books is to publish books from authors that are really bringing to the forefront unrepresented cultures and backgrounds to get their stories out. And they're often inspired by mythology and their own heritage. So Rebecca writes a really fun middle grade story about a seventh grader. Her name is Najoni Begay, I think. And she is a kid who can see monsters. She's recently left her public school to join an intertribal community charter school, which is kind of the acronym is IX. The story's set in New Mexico, and it's just a really, really nice read about a kid who is going through life, and she's got these visions where she can tell there are people showing up at her gym with monster intentions. She has a friend named Davery. He's also a part Native American person, a kid who actually has his dad is a head librarian in town. Loved, absolutely loved. But one of the things that really made me laugh is that their basketball team, their mascot is called the Isotopes. That's the name of their team. And Davery is really into science trivia, and Najoni at one point says, "Stop sciencing me." I had to laugh because I don't know if you guys have any friends out there that are often trying to explain how, you know, certain processes work, and just made me laugh. Anyway, I recommend that one in that series for us, not just our summer reading challenge theme, but just in general, all those books from the Rick Riordan Presents publishing arm of Disney. They're really great.
And I happen to, I love Rebecca Roanhorse's books for adults too.
So,
And there's I'm really kind of looking forward. They released a cover for something coming out in October that I'm really looking forward to for adults too. So she's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the other one is Stepsister by Jennifer Donnelly. This is a young adult title. And I love Jennifer Donnelly. I've been reading a lot of her stuff lately and just really love the way she writes. I haven't listened to an audio version yet, but this is the story of Isabel, one of the ugly stepsisters. And I love these stories, you know, with reimaginings of stories where they tell the fairy tale from the perspective of a different character. And this is a girl who like cuts off her toes so she can fit into the glass slipper. Like blood piling up inside the shoe. It sounds a little gross, but it's a story. I haven't gotten through it fully, but it's a story that I think really challenges people to think about, like, what really defines beauty? And, you know, it's like, are there really ugly stepsisters? Is there a bad stepmother? I don't know. I really, really love how she's putting this story forth. So,
that sounds great.
Those are my two picks for young adults, or for kids and young adults.
Very cool.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So how about you, Miss Cheryl Lindemann? How's it going?
It's going. And I think sort of on the, you can't really turn around without seeing an article about pressure, you know, about how people are responding, right, to pressure. People with children, young children, college, seniors who are graduating high school, people who had to leave college, you know, absolutely everybody, right, facing this with a totally different combination of circumstances and challenges. And as a parent of a young child, I'm, you know, trying to balance work from home and a curriculum or a school curriculum and educating. And it's funny, I woke up this morning to saw a New Yorker comic, and the little caption was, "This is it, the time to finish your novel." And it shows this man in a boat in a storm. There's a capsized ship in the distance, you know. And it's like, I think, you know, people are running the gamut of responses to this, to, you know, I have this time at home, I can do things, to people who are working, frontline responders in the crisis, and again, and then parents and their challenges, and people with their challenges who don't have children at home. And from a parenting perspective, and educating, I feel like the library has so many resources that are helping me at home, educating my daughter in a non-traditional way. Mm-hmm. We've really enjoyed the Canopy Kids free borrows.
Nice.
It's been awesome. What a great, rich resource. They have the Weston Woods adaptations of children's books into, you know, little short films. And they're just magical. A lot of classics and contemporary ones. Really, really fun. It's like a lovely story time. And usually, you know, those would take up your borrows if you even wanted to do, you know, a chunk of them. But you could really watch a couple hours worth of them right now and get through history, biography, classic books, funny books, Mo Willems titles in there. That's been a really fun resource. And then I've also been using a lot of ebooks and some of the e-free borrows from Hoopla. The bonus borrows, they're called. Yeah. To do some little book reports, which has been sort of fun. And that's been something that has been a way to tap into my daughter's interests. So she's doing dog reports using some of the resources from the library. So that's been really fun. But I think about summer reading coming and just seeing that as not, hopefully not another source of, oh, I got to get this done, a lot of pressure, but seeing this as this wonderful time to just encourage reading in any format. And we always talk about that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I noticed that, you know, my daughter loves humor books. She absolutely wants those silly, zany humor books. And, you know, read as many of those as you know, I encourage her to read as many of those as she likes. Read below your reading level. Stretch. Read above your reading level. There just aren't rules and to use that, right?
Yes.
I saw a really fun quote from Kate DiCamillo on Facebook, and she said she saw one of her neighbors, and they assured her they were reading. But the child said, "We are reading in the middle of the day," and she I was asked, you know, "We're not just reading at bedtime." And it's like, okay, you know, if all else fails, just stop and read. You know, read together. Your older kids will listen. Read to your older kids. Read to, you know, call a friend and read. You know, just that power of that read aloud. You know,
right? I really love just families reading aloud, even when your kids are older. I mean, I do think a lot of families think, you know, when once your child is past third grade, that maybe they don't need that. But it's just so meaningful, I think, for families to still keep listening to books as they're traveling or reading, you know, a book that, you know, a chapter book every night, just a little bit, and following the story together as a read aloud. It's just, it's really nice to do.
Yeah, and even as adults listening to the audiobooks, it's that same kind of feeling of being read to. And those, mm-hmm. there's just a warmth in it. There's something really engaging about it. As far as, I'd like to talk a little bit about backlist titles sometime, and there's a really relevant backlist title to this time, I think, right now for parents in particular. It's called Simplicity Parenting by Kim John Payne, and I was excited to see that we have the audiobook on Hoopla, and the subtitle of this is Using the Extraordinary Power of Less to Raise Calmer, Happier, and More Secure Kids. This is one of my favorite books, and it really gets to the heart of a different way of looking at parenting, and I think it's a nice read for this time in our lives and what we're all going through about taking pressure off, and that less can be a really good pathway to calmer parenting. So that was one that really came to mind. It also brought up a new release that I've been reading, which is called Do Nothing. Sort of perfect timing on this one.
Yes.
Do Nothing, How to Break Away from Overworking, Overdoing, and Undoing by Celeste Headlee. And Celeste Headlee, you may recognize her name as a journalist, writer, NPR correspondent, as a host of the Georgia Public Broadcasting Program on Second Thought, PRA program, The Takeaway. And she really, it's a really like a deep dive into overwork and overwhelm. Yes. Yeah, it's just so crazy. It's history. And she's saying, this has not always been this way. And how did we get here? And if we're not happy with it, which many people are not, what are some strategies for getting out of this? And a quote from the book that I really liked was, what I learned is that if you don't consciously choose a slower path, you will likely default to the pedal to the metal speeds of modern life.
Right.
Yeah. And she talks about stringing together moments of tranquility to move her habits toward a different path. And those small steps, not sweeping changes, but those small steps toward a different way of living. So I've really been, it seems like, and that published right when all of this was happening.
Yes.
Really interesting timing.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and it is, it's a real thing. We're an example of a group of people who can do work at home. But it is one of those, I don't have a small child to take care of, so I have a little bit too much free time to overdo.
Yeah.
And I've had to kind of really think that out and say, no, I'm actually going to just do, you know, put my time in, and I need to step away from a computer for, you know, a reasonable amount of time and not just keep going on things.
Yeah, you could just keep going. Yeah.
You could. Yeah. Well,
and then but then you hit that point where you're like, I am so sick of this spot in my kitchen.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a point where I don't come into this room.
Right.
Towards the, like at the end of the week.
Yeah.
For anything but to be here to work. I don't. Yes. It's like, it's the only place for me to do. I mean, there's stuff I do need to do on a computer otherwise.
Right.
That's just the way life is working right now. I don't want to do it here.
I had to move my office from the kitchen to one of the spare rooms because I was like, I just can't stand seeing that computer there all the time.
I understand completely. No. And a couple of things occurred to me and while you were talking, Cheryl, and that appeal of the read aloud really is a very real and neat thing. I think that's why it's like LeVar Burton is doing read alouds for children, teens, and adults online. And I think Jim Hines is too, our local science fiction author.
Oh, really?
On Friday nights. I think it's Friday nights. I will put a link. We'll put a link to that.
Awesome.
But it's, you know, different people are doing this, and it's just, it's fabulous. But I find myself listening to audiobooks differently now. It's so, and I do, I've had a lot of conversations with different people about that level of pressure, because it does apply even to people who are, you know, not home with kids. Or you find yourself, I could very easily think, oh, but everything should be normal. I should be able to do all the work stuff that I always do.
Yeah.
And that's really not real. I might be able to do it for a little while, but something else is going to suffer on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an interesting balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. And they're better. Some days are better than others. That's for sure.
Certainly. Yeah.
Some days you think you really got it figured out, and then other days. Yeah.
So you do see a lot of discussions and articles online, and along with do nothing as an example, but somebody posted something about, you know, Shakespeare writing one of his plays during the plague. One, everybody else is like, so what?
Yeah.
That's not helping me here.
Right.
Yeah. It's not good to compare at this time. I think that's the worst, is the comparison. Yeah. It's never good, but it's really bad right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, there will be people who will come out of this and be able to create.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody by any means. And you're doing what you can do.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing, getting through.
Getting through, indeed. I have to say that I'm really missing the physical collection. And
I know.
Like picture books, I'm sure a lot of our members out there know, like we very often in a lot of our library branches, you have a section with all the new books, and I'm just missing being able to go in and snag like 10 books at a time and take them home.
Oh, yes.
And yep. I mean, they're, so I have been searching just for, you know, because I actually have a lot of friends, and maybe Cheryl, this has happened to you as well, where they're running out of picture books to read their grandkids on their Zoom or their FaceTime app overnight. And I just like, well, look in, Mel.org has this really great collection called Capstone Interactive. And I wouldn't say that they're really picture books as much as nonfiction, but I found one that I absolutely love. It came out a while ago, maybe a couple years ago, A Different Pond. And it's actually illustrated by Thibu. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful book about a boy and his dad who get up really early to go fishing at a pond. And it's just gorgeous because the boy kind of makes a few references, you know, to his dad, who is Vietnamese, came from another part of the world and is, you know, trying to provide for the family. And just a little bit of hints, like, you know, maybe the dad has had some hardship with, you know, people not understanding his English. And the boy says, but to me, his English sounds like gentle rain. Mm-hmm. And I just love reading just how much this little boy honors his father. And anyway, that's one of the titles that's available through Capstone Interactive Collection. If you just go to mel.org, M-E-L.org, and click on that Learning from Home During COVID-19 link, you'll see a number of different ways you can access some of their collections. It's just a really great resource. And it is brought to us by the Library of Michigan, or the Michigan Electronic Library, which is mel.org. But I'm really missing my picture books.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can read very well in a digital device, but I miss just having more books to flip through.
Yeah. I miss the physical part of holding something and turning pages. I do want to give a short mention to another title that I actually discovered a while ago, called My Weird Reading Tips by Dan Gutman. And if you guys are familiar with Dan Gutman, he's a very funny series writer for kids. He's had just phenomenal success with his My Weird School series. Mm-hmm. So these are very humorous fiction books. But this particular book is actually a nonfiction book. And upon looking at it more carefully, I sort of felt a little intimidated by it because, you know, each chapter talks about various aspects of reading, like looking at point of view or how to interpret pictures. So it's kind of giving hints to children about, you know, how to look at the whole picture of what you're reading. You know, when you're reading facts versus opinions, comparing and contrasting different types of things. And I think it's a really great title, especially for parents to read with their kids so they can maybe try to identify some of those things.
Is that digital too? Do we have that right now digitally?
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So what else have you been reading, Cheryl?
I actually have a book to gush about. similar to you, Jessica, with the Neil Gaiman book. I had picked up this book when it first was published in one of my giant stacks of checkouts from the library. And I picked it up. I enjoyed it to start with, but it may not have been the right time. I had other things I needed to read for work. I don't know, but I had to return it. I picked it up again as a paperback release. It was released first in 2019 and then just released in March as a paperback release. And the title is Autumn Light, Seasons of Fire and Farewells by Pico Ayer. And Pico Ayer is the author of 12 books. He's has several TED Talks. His books are about travel, a lot of books about Japan. He's a journalist and a writer. And this book is, I wish you could see it, because it's one of those books, I know we all love covers. This paperback release, actually I have my own copy here, and the hardcover, they're just gorgeous books. This is brilliant orange. It's a little odd that I'm talking about a book in autumn and spring, but it's really, it's really a book about the opposite of the season that we're in. And again, this, you know how they always say the book finds you when you need it? I found this book at exactly the right time. I mean, it's just,
all right.
Yeah, it's just, it's perfect for what we're, for my perspective, what we're going through right now, speaking to me. And I am really gushing about it. The challenge about this book is that it's hard to describe in words. There's a lot going on here. This isn't a heavily plotted book. And actually he even says it's kind of a lot of it's really a book a lot about nothingness. It's about stillness. It's about the season of autumn. And it starts out, he is returning to Japan. He has a home in Japan. He also spends time in the United States with his aging mother in California. But he returns because his father-in-law has passed away. So he returns to his home in Japan with his wife. And it's really about the season of autumn, but it's about the loss of his father-in-law. His mother-in-law is aging and has memory issues. It's about that, but it's about Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. It's about the maple trees changing. He also is part of this ping pong group, which is this sort of lighter
spread. That's not something you hear about very often.
No. Okay. There's a group of septuagenarians and octogenarians in the ping pong group, and they meet weekly to do ping pong. But it's very subtle, and it's very beautiful. And it starts out with a lovely, lovely quote I just wanted to share with you. Tomorrow, the crimson children are playing in the West, wrote Emily Dickinson, the fall of 1854, and tomorrow will be colder. And that really sets the tone. Now, you might think this is a very depressing book. It isn't at all. And I think the takeaways from it, there are many, but one of them is about stillness. And for this man, Pico Ayer, the author who's lived all over the world, was born in England, came to the U.S., went to Japan, and really just had to stay. He loved it so much. And who's traveled so much in his life. He really comes back to this his Japanese village where he lives. And that really, it's a microcosm of all of life right where he is. So there's that stillness and that beauty and that reflection in the process. So just a gorgeous book. I highly recommend anybody who likes memoirs, travel writing, evocative language to pick this up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
How about you, Jessica? Any other non-summer related or summer reading related titles that you've really been enjoying?
Yeah, two of them. And again, actually, this one, come to think of it, had sort of the same thing. One of them is Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. He wrote The Family Fang and a couple other titles. This was a really big book last year. I mean, it was on all the end of the year lists. And I could not get into it the first time I tried it. But somehow, and then again, picked it up, read it straight through.
Wow.
In the last couple of weeks. And if you're not, it actually, in its weird way, relates back to the pressures in parenting conversation.
Oh.
If you're not familiar with it, this is a pair of women who went to boarding school together. They have a fairly unhealthy relationship, but they are friends. Lillian is from a poorer family, and Madison was from a more well-to-do family. What Lillian had gotten in on scholarship to this boarding school. And somewhere along the way, Madison does something worth getting herself kicked out of school. And her father basically takes Lillian's mother aside and says, "I will pay you if she takes the rap for whatever they did, whatever she did."
Whoa.
So Lillian gets kicked out of school, but Madison keeps writing her throughout their life. And they're still weirdly friends. So fast forward, Madison now is a senator's wife. And she calls Lillian kind of out of the blue and says, "I need your help on something." And Lillian comes running, because she does. And what the thing is she would like Lillian to be the caretaker for Madison's stepchildren. Their mother has just died. There's a lot of secrecy around it. Lillian isn't particularly trained for this, but they want to keep everything quiet. And the reason being that when the children are agitated, they catch fire.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. So it's just sort of it's a strange book. Lillian has never been particularly interested in children.
Like the challenge.
But she's fascinated by this pair of twins, and they're unique. And it's a weird book. It's a funny book. It sort of gets to the part of what makes a good, what does it mean to be a parent? What's important about being a parent? And it kind of boils down to, in this sort of case, sort of seeing them, really paying attention to them, and loving them. And it's a found family story. It's a funny, bizarre story. But it was one that, I mean, once I got in, I was thoroughly in, and I totally understand why it made all the lists.
Intriguing. Fire and all. Wow.
Yeah, fire and all. Yes. And there's a fun twist at the end. It's a neat book. It's well constructed too. And you start off, you're not sure you're going to like any of these characters, but you do, you just find they're nobody's perfect. They're doing the best that they can. And then the other one, this would be my true gush one, because I can gush about Neil Gaiman, but that's a totally different level. But I have talked about the Murderbot series before. It started with All Systems Red. This is the series that follows this very sarcastic, loyal, and wonderfully relatable security unit in a science fiction tale, who really would rather, in most stories, the robot is, it has to do what everybody tells it to do. That's part of its, the way it's coded, the way it's programmed. Well, this particular unit has hacked that, has its control of itself, and really just would rather binge watch TV than do actual work. And this is now like the fifth book in the series, but it's the first full-length novel that Martha Wells has put out. The book is called Network Effect. And if you haven't read the whole series, you really want to go back and read the four novellas before this. But it's a fabulous, fabulous story. It's a lot of fun. And it's just, it's the character is the thing. This is a really neat character, and the development over the series is fabulous. So that's my other one. What do you think? Has anybody done any more baking?
Yes. Yes. And I delved further into gluten-free baking, which is not the same. So I've been gluten-free for about 5 years, maybe 6 years now. And so, but baking is, it's just not quite the same, but it's getting better with new flours that they're coming out with. It's getting better. It's definitely better. But this cherry bread, not the greatest, but
I'm sorry.
So we ate it, but
yeah.
But the important thing was that we did it. We had the therapeutic value of the baking and the accomplishment that you get that you made something. So yes. You know, it's the process, right? The
process, I actually do believe that. Yes, there is certainly something to that.
And it was edible. It just wasn't great. But it's a challenge. You know, let's keep finding recipes that are good. So right. How about you two?
Well,
I did try the shortbread from Sister Pie. So that
sounds
buttered
really
rum
yummy.
Shortbread in the Sister Pie cookbook.
Was it good?
Yes, actually, it's very good.
Wow.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that we should start bringing some of this in when we get to go back to the office.
We have to figure out how that whole thing, you know, buffets and stuff aren't going to work quite the same way.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, I do really wish I could get rid of half of anything I make.
Yeah. So I've been gathering some ingredients for a peach cobbler that I want to make, but all the ingredients are mostly on my counter. So I haven't done it yet. I hope to maybe this weekend.
I understand.
We'll
I kept putting off the shortbread. I do understand.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking, okay, if I actually do the work to make it, that's better than going and buying junk food or something like that.
Absolutely. Oh,
that,
yeah.
That makes sense to anybody else.
No, it totally makes sense. Yeah. And it's, you know what's going into it too. I've picked up a recipe from another library, the Portage District Library in Houghton, Michigan. They have a staff member there who is posting Finnish family recipes.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds so good. It's almost like a rice pudding, but it's more like I think she called it like more of a porridge, and it's with rhubarb, actually. It looks
ooh,
good.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Alrighty. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. A rhubarb rice porridge. Maybe that doesn't sound good to everybody, but that sounds really good to me. So I'll report back on that. I'll let you know.
All right. Well, we're waiting to see how it all works out. Maybe I'll try something else too. It's been lovely talking with you guys.
Yeah, it has. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay safe, everyone.
Yes.